You're good to go.
I am very good to go, yes.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And today I have an amazing guest. I'm really excited to have this guest on because we recently met and the story is unbelievable. I'm going to put the spotlight on Charles Achampong. He has an amazing story that I resonate with because I grew up with I call her the roaming mom because she used to take us everywhere. And I'm gonna let him tell his story, but he just basically has an amazing story, adventures with his family, and he's got a book coming up. So I'm gonna pass the mic off to you, Charles. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are today?
Sure. Thank you very much, Danielle. And thank you so much for having me. This is my first podcast, so I'm excited and enthusiastic to be able to join you and your audience today. So a little bit about me. I grew up in Ottawa and have spent over 20 years working across the public, private, philanthropic, not-for-profit sectors, leading a number of different transformative initiatives and organizations like the Vancouver 2010 Olympic Games. So I worked there for a stint. I worked at Scotiabank, Ontario Trillium Foundations. And really these experiences really shaped my commitment to creating lasting change, social change, and empowering communities. And it was really this transformative journey around the world with my amazing wife, Janice, and my two wonderful daughters, Cassia, who's 11, and Ayana, who's 8, that really opened up my eyes to the power of travel. And so really after 10 years of planning and saving and daydreaming, we swapped basketball practices and work deadlines for passports and plane tickets to chase the sun and escape winter as part of our 7-month sabbatical across 4 continents and 11 countries. So we were ready to break free from routine. We had one preteen who was happily settled into her own routine. But if you compare that to her younger sister, who was always ready to seek her next big adventure. So it was an amazing adventure of 4 continents and 11 countries. And it really was sort of surreal. The real one was really just not seeing the world, but also watching our kids. Watching our kids sort of change and evolve over time and seeing how much they really absorbed every moment and every culture. And that was sort of the unexpected lesson for us. So, and the fact that no one can rewrite and take away what we've experienced as well was really an amazing opportunity. So, yeah, it was taking that pause, stepping out of our routine and seeing what the world had to offer and slowing down so that we could actually truly enjoy it.
I love that. And I just, this is why I like it. It's going to lead me to my next question. But
Yeah.
there's so many people that want to travel. They want to travel the world. They want to have these experiences, but they think that they can't because they have their children. They think that it's holding them back. And you took the plunge. You actually went in and said,
Yeah.
no, we're going to make memories. And I absolutely love it. So was there a defining moment where you were just like, okay, we're doing this now, because it kind of goes against the norms, right? It's just
Yes.
like, sure,
Yes.
we'll talk about that later, but was there an actual moment, or is that something that just kind of gradually happened?
Yeah, I mean, I can. It's funny. I was thinking about my spouse and just the conversation we had in terms of when we even came up with the idea. I mean, the specific moment hit us when we were actually on our honeymoon. So this is even before kids, and we even envisioned how many kids we were going to have. And so it was standing at the feet of the Christ the Redeemer statue in Rio de Janeiro. We saw this elderly man with an oxygen tank in tow, and he was slowly making his way up the escalator and stairs to take in the view. This is an iconic statue that graces all of Rio de Janeiro. And so later that evening over dinner, we didn't talk about it at the time, but we both saw it at different times and saw this individual making his way up to the statue. And it was later that evening over dinner, we kind of reflected on what we had witnessed and what we saw. And she said, she would love to take our future kids on a trip around the world, and we shouldn't wait until it's too late, right? And my reaction was, I thought she was completely nuts. I'm like, first of all, there we were like newlyweds, we were enjoying Rio de Janeiro, We had not even finished paying for that trip, and she was talking about this global adventure with these hypothetical kids that we didn't even have yet, right? So I was kind of like, I'm like, okay, let me just humor her. We're on our honeymoon, right? And so I was like, are you kidding me? But honestly, deep down inside, I realized she was onto something. Like, that moment planted the seed. And even though, you know, travel wasn't something that we loved, it was something that we wanted to share as a broader family, whatever that family looked like. And so looking back, I'm glad that we didn't let the practicalities of the moment overshadow the dream of what we wanted to pursue. Because I thought it was something that was completely over our head and was too far down the road. And it was something that was a pipe dream, something to wish for. But I think it was at that moment that could have set, sort of laid the foundation, the seed for it to us to pursue this trip and journey.
That's amazing. And it goes all the way back. It's so great that, you know, it's funny how life takes us somewhere. But of course, there's, like I said, it's unconventional. You must have had a lot of pushback or a lot of people with great, you know, words of wisdom to talk you out of it. How did you both, because it's a partnership, how did you both overcome this to say, you know, not to get those comments or feedback get into your head and just give up on the whole idea?
It was so hard. I mean, people were shocked, but they were in the minority. Some thought we had a, you know, a really good life and couldn't understand why we would, quote unquote, throw it all away, you know, as if taking a 7 or 8 month sabbatical was the equivalent of like setting our house on fire, right? And most of our, so that's one thing. But most of our family and friends, though, were, you know, I think incredibly supportive. They were excited for us, living vicariously through our plans, and couldn't wait to hear all about it. I mean, the pandemic really threw a wrench into our plans. This was something that we had been planning over a 10-year period. So my spouse and I have been married for, I should get this right, 13 years now, almost 14 next year. And so during the pandemic, at the height of the pandemic, we were wondering, can we actually pull this off? The world is shut down. It has come to an end. And so not even that, people were like, are you sure? We were thinking amongst ourselves, you know, are we going to be able to pull this off? But, you know, if I think about, you know, the main question, most people, so the pandemic was one piece, but most people ask, like, how on earth could we afford to do this, right? And some even joked that we must have won the lottery, right? So we took it as a compliment, and we just realized it was a reflection of how rare a trip like this seems. Right. And so we acknowledged that this trip, and we had to share it to people, that it was as a result of a decade long dream, that it was, you know, years of saving and planning and intentional decision. So it wasn't a windfall, but it wasn't until we put our house up for short term lease that it started to feel real for us. The sign seemed to shock people the most, if anything, because suddenly our plans weren't just hypothetical. They were actually happening. So that was a big thing. But we live in a go-go-go society, right, where taking a break usually means a long weekend or a couple of weeks in the summer. Doing something so far outside the norm felt kind of radical for us. And so, but in the way it made people stop and think, right? So it was, for those people who call this crazy, I mean, I would just probably smile and say probably, but at least we have great stories to tell. So, you know, it was anything, you know, and I think the last piece is that, you know, it gave people permission, I think, to dream too. Not necessarily about a sabbatical, but more about reconsidering things and saying that, you know, maybe asking the question, what if? What if we could do this? What if it's, you know, if they could do it, maybe we could do it as well. So I would say that's the reaction that we had received.
Yeah, you kind of took the, it's no longer like one day. You just did it. And you made it real for everyone. You made it real for everybody. You're just like, yeah,
we're going. Yes. Yes. Yes.
I love that. You did mention earlier to see that how it this whole experience transformed your daughters, and it's something that I talk a lot, because I had a roaming mom. I always called her the roaming mom, but we didn't travel the world. We just went from city to city.
Right.
But it's the same, and a lot of people question or can't wrap their heads around the fact that you pull your kids out of school. You shouldn't be doing that in the first place. But the world is so much more that they can learn from. So can you kind of explain to us the experiences, like what that experience was for your daughters, and how you saw them transform with these lifetime memories?
Yes, great question. You know, I don't want to sugarcoat it or say that, as much as we had a phenomenal experience, I would say that, and sort of paint the scenario of it being rainbows, unicorns, but I would say at the start of the trip, my oldest daughter, Cassia, was a bit out of sorts, right? She was missing her graduation. She was leaving from elementary school, going to middle school. And so she'd be missing out on all the festivities in terms of wrapping up her time in elementary school. And she started this school. There's been a cohort of students all starting out in kindergarten and making their way up to the end of elementary school. So she was missing her graduation from the school that she had attended since she was in kindergarten, and really dreaded this transition to the middle school without being there to be a part of all that. So that's my oldest daughter, Cassia. And my youngest, Ayanna, had more practical concerns. Who was going to look after the house? How long are we going to be gone for? None of these questions I would have expected from the youngest person in the family. But then again, these kids always seem to surprise you. But I would say that after about 4 to 6 weeks into the trip, something shifted. It was almost as if like a switch had flipped, and their whole demeanor, particularly my oldest, Cassia, had changed. They became a bit more fearless and adventurous. They were trying different activities like zorbing in New Zealand or making friends with some of the local kids, and just really embracing the unpredictability rhythm of travel. So I think that was one piece as well. But I think for me, the real transformation, though, it showed itself when we returned home. My oldest, Cassie, who's a bit more introverted, more academically focused, kind of dove headfirst into new experiences at her school. She started trying out all these new activities that we had never heard of, and she never even sort of participated in while she was in elementary school, right? Soccer, cricket, and board and ball, and she was on the cross-country running team and even made it to the city finals, all without, like completely without the, so we encouraged her, but we didn't push her, which was, in many things as parents, you're always trying to get your kids exposed to many different things. And we all try to live vicariously and live our dreams through our kids sometimes and push them a little too hard. But it was this idea that she was trying all these things without us pushing her, which was completely surreal. And her younger sister was seeing this and was following suit. She showed this new confidence and independence as well. She developed a real interest in chess and even participated in, the cross-country running. There was a chess, sort of initiative or activity at school, and she put her hand up and participated with her class and really kind of showed the same sort of enthusiasm she showed for, like, as well. And so it's like she took, it's like both of them took every lesson from our travels and applied it to their new, this life at home, right? And so for me, what stands out is this kind of newfound sense of independence that they both have. They're not just trying new things, but they're fully invested in taking ownership of their interests and tackling some of the challenges head on. And so for me, I think the biggest surprise is that they're no longer just observers, but they're actually active participants in what they're doing, ready for whatever comes. And for me, as a parent, that to me is like the greatest reward of all, to see how adventurous and how much outgoing and how their true spirit is coming out. And so I really enjoy and really appreciate that. And that I think was really the foundation of many of the experiences and activities that we took part in on our trip around the world.
Wow, that's amazing that you say that because I don't think anybody's ever looked at it that way. But it kind of you hearing me hearing you say this is it build up initiative. Like your daughter is making the decision that she wants to do this, and it's not something we see in children a lot, and it's not something that we know how to how do we bring that out of our kids without traumatizing them, right? And pushing them out of the school. But the fact that just traveling like that, experiencing new new worlds and new points of views, that it developed their initiative, the concept of initiative. That's really cool. And you have a blog, so I'll invite the listeners or the whoever is watching. We could talk about it a little bit later. But what I love about your blog is the pictures. You show pictures of your daughters. They're sitting in the desert somewhere and learning about the food in the air, and I'm thinking, oh, they would never learn that. You can't get that from a book. Like they get to smell it, they get to feel the texture, they get to, and there's nothing more learning through food and textures and smells is you can't replace that. So this is amazing. And we'll talk about the blog and your book that came out from that a little bit later. But I did want to one last question because you did this not only with children but with your spouse, with your partner. That again, we're not going to sugarcoat this. Traveling the world alone with your partner could be challenging, and now you have to work things out with the children. And how do we do this? And how do we budget? And we have our moments too. So how did
Yes.
these experiences transform your partnership with your spouse?
Oh, yeah, great question. I think anything, Danielle, the trip really for me reaffirmed what I've always known, that my wife is the foundation of our family. Like, she is the glue that holds everything together. She, seeing her in action on this journey just gave me a newfound respect and admiration for her. She has this sort of effortless way of managing everything, from keeping us on track during chaotic travel days to being calm and reassuring in terms of her demeanor and presence with the kids, even when things don't go unplanned. If anything, I was reminded and struck by her tenacity, her ability to adapt, even bringing joy during the most chaotic times during the trip as well. She's not just, I think, for me, an incredible partner, but she is also an amazing and beautiful role model for my kids. Showing them what strength and grace looks like during times of really sort of inconvenience, right? And if anything, this trip really stripped away the noise of everyday life and gave us a bit of space to connect in ways I don't think we really have over the course of our marriage, right? And I think about the deep conversations about our future. The goals that we have, the adventures that we want to still pursue together. I think all that, I mean, for me, it was the gift was the time that we had together, reminding me why we make such a strong team. But at the same time, I realize she's an individual. I realize the importance of giving her space to reflect and recharge on her own. Like, watching her take those moments for herself was just, for me, very essential to support each of our individuality, right? And so, even though we're an amazing team, she needs her space to grow and to spend her time to recharge as well. And so the truth is, like, we would never, it was her idea, right? We would never, I shared early, we would never have pursued this sabbatical if it wasn't for her vision and determination to take this future family of ours on this trip around the world, right? And so, I mean, I think that my daughters and I have and owe her a debt of gratitude for giving us this experience. And one, I think, for me, has shaped us in ways that we could have never, ever imagined.
That's amazing. And there is really no other way of knowing how you work as a team than when it's just
Yes.
literally just you with the
Yes.
world, right? So
Yes. Yes.
you took it literally. And the fact that you were willing to roll with the punches, I mean, if your initial reaction was like, are you kidding me right now? To,
It
hey, let's do this. That builds a partnership, a really strong, a strong foundation. And
very much
it's
so.
good to
And
hear.
I even remember, Danielle, as well, like when we had met in Vancouver, when we both worked together in the Olympic Games, and we were dating at the time, became, girlfriend and boyfriend, and we had spent 3 months traveling after we were done after the Olympic Games. And spending that time with her, I'm like, okay, she is the real deal. Like, we were able to travel all throughout Southeast Asia for 3 months, and I had a phenomenal time. That's what brought us together, the shared love of travel, of seeing the world, different cultures, and exposed, to different sort of elements and languages and food, all that stuff, and people. And I'm like, okay, this is, if we can survive 3 months together, then maybe this idea at the time, even though I was thinking more financially when we had that conversation in Brazil, but if we could do that together, then who knows what's in the future is going to bring. So yeah, she is phenomenal.
That's amazing. Yeah, you put it to the test right away with 3 months of travel.
Definitely,
That's all,
definitely,
everybody's true colors come out. That's why
definitely,
we travel.
definitely.
That's amazing. And it's just the sense, the connection, because that's the message you kind of through your blog. And I got the opportunity to read your book ahead of time. That sense of connection with your family, with your partner, it's not the same, right? Being a dad and being a spouse is completely different. But
Exactly,
is
yes.
there, and not everybody is going to not necessarily want to, but maybe not be able to take a sabbatical and travel the world in 7 months. But is there
Yes.
something that parents could do today? Because I like to say, let's change something today for the better. Is there something
Yes.
that parents could start doing today where they could create these moments of connection with their kids or their loved ones, not just their kids, but
So many things, but if I were to kind of distill it to a couple of sort of specific action items, one of the things I've been trying to do a much better job of as a father and of course as a dad is to listen to my kids' ideas. You know, they'll surprise you with their creativity and enthusiasm, and often, you know, their ideas are cost effective as well. You know, they're more likely to be engaged, at least in my experience, because the idea came from them. Right. And I think as human beings, when you come up with the idea yourself, you have got a bit more of a self-interest in the idea because you were the develop you came up with the idea, you developed it, right? So, you know, it's the connection isn't about being perfect, it's about being present and you know, being able to engage in them with them as well. And you know, for us, I'm a strong believer that yes, our thing was a sabbatical around the world, but you don't need a passport to pause. Right, there's so many different things that you can do. You can practice micro adventures, explore a new park, try a different type of food, or take a weekend trip, or go to a different part of the community in your city that you've not been to. So just it's all about showing up in my mind with intention. But that the for the me the biggest thing was just listening to your kids' ideas and actually fully listen to what they're saying. Don't go through the motions. Be present, actively listen and engage, and ask them questions about what it is that they want to do. So I think for us, even though we had planned this trip, and if there was one thing I would do differently, we had kept this a secret from our kids until we actually announced it to them about a year ago, actually just prior to the holidays a year ago before we went. And, you know, I had this reaction in my mind as to how they were going to react in terms of participating on the going on this trip. And I think I shared the reaction earlier. My oldest was just upset and stomped off to her room, and my youngest was confused as if to say, like, where are my parents taking? We're doing what? She's too young to kind of fathom and understand what was going on, right? And so if I were to do it, I mean, there's a pros and cons. We wanted to keep it a secret because we didn't want to put it out there in the universe just yet. We weren't ready to, but the silver lining was the fact that we involved them in the planning. So once we had decided which countries we were going in, we said, okay, what activities? You take it as a project on your own to research and do the sort of due diligence of activities that you would like to engage in each country. We may not be able to do all of them, but let's choose what are your top three. So I love the fact that we were able to solicit their ideas to help participate on the trip. And there was much more excitement and enthusiasm when they knew that they were participating in an activity that they had come up with and had done the research about. So listening to your kids' ideas for that worked wonders. And so if you can apply that to your own daily life, I think that will pay dividends as well.
It does make a big difference. We plan sometimes. I'm not talking about a trip because now a big trip like that, you do need to plan, but just
Yes.
day-to-day stuff, we try to sometimes we overplan and the kids can't really
Yes.
enjoy, they don't have time to enjoy what we're doing because we're moving to the next programmed activity. So asking them, working in daycares when we switched over to learning through play, where now we're playing instead of teaching, but
Yes.
we're teaching
Yes.
through play, and educators are just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know this, and it's just, did you ask the kids what they wanted
Exactly.
to do? Just ask the
Exactly.
kids. They'll come up with amazing things you wouldn't have thought of, and they're much easier than what we're planning. So I
Yes,
love
yes,
that. Yes.
yes.
Just ask your kids what they want to do and be there,
Ask
be
them.
present and have fun with them. It's amazing. Is there advice you wish you would have had sooner just to make your life a little easier, or advice you'd like to pass on to your daughters to make their life a little easier?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think so. There are many sort of tactical things in terms of the actual trip itself, in terms of don't overpack. You know, whether it's your luggage or your schedule that you talked about, don't overcomplicate things, embrace discomfort. You know, honestly, the best stories, I think, experiences that we have were when things went awry, when things didn't go as planned. But I think the most meaningful piece of advice is what I sort of maybe alluded to earlier, is that you don't need permission to pause, right? So we often wait for someone or something to tell us it's okay to take a break. But that, I know in my experience, that approval rarely comes. You know, it shouldn't take a health scare, or it shouldn't take exhaustion, or sort of that mental health break that you require for you to sort of realize, like, oh, I need to take a break, right? Waiting for the right moment in anything in life, particularly to pause, often means that it never happens, right? And so I think we've all learned that the truth is there's never really a perfect time. Because a lot of people ask us, oh, you know, this was the perfect time for you guys to take your kids at this age. I'm like, you know, we could have done it earlier, we could have done it later. It just, the timing worked out now that this is when we were going to go. So it was a the perfect time never really comes. You just have to kind of just do it, right? And the last thing is that pausing in many cases isn't selfish, it's essential. So whether it's travel, reflection, or just reconnecting with what matters most to you, I think stepping back in my mind can be the most important and strategic move that you make.
Yeah, that is so important. You're talking to somebody who had to wait for a burnout to stop.
Exactly. So yes,
I know exactly what you mean, where it's just that if you don't stop, your body will eventually tell you to.
Yes.
And it's a lot harder to recover from that. So yeah, that's definitely advice we should all have sooner and pass on to our children. It's not selfish. It's essential. And it's a really beautiful message. Let's talk about your book. It started off with a blog. Now
yes.
You have a book, Around the World in Family Days. I love that. I absolutely love that title. But talk to us about the blog, the book, everything.
Yes. You know, it's again, the fact that we're even having this conversation is surreal. What, before we left on the trip, I had shared the fact that this idea to me at the time when we decided on our honeymoon seemed so crazy and ludicrous that we wouldn't do it. But of course we did it. And even the idea of writing blog posts, this trip has given a gift to me to realize how much I enjoy writing. Like many things in life, you know, there are things I think that everyone has a particular set of gifts or a gift that they don't get a chance to always find out or get a chance to use. And for me, writing was a gift that I wouldn't say comes easy to me, but it brings me joy. And so when we were getting this process of being able to write about our trip, I was reluctant to write a blog because in many ways along my way in life, I was told that I shouldn't pursue writing because it wasn't going to be a lucrative career. You wouldn't be able to put food on the table. So I've kind of pushed it on the back burner. In anything, this trip gave me an opportunity to kind of recreate, to bring that joy forward, to talk about our experiences. And I was pleasantly surprised at the feedback I received about the blogs. It was something I enjoy writing about. The pictures my wife had taken and me kind of complementing that with sort of the narrative as well. And so those stories along the way transformed into a book called Around the World in Family Days. So it's I'm really excited, very happy to bring this idea to life. It's part memoir, part guide, our exploration of the power of pausing and stepping away from routines. It's about what I've been calling sort of building this failure immunity. So what I mean by that is being able to learn to embrace challenges and grow through missteps and surprises. Like, I'm surprised at how, again, this idea of making mistakes and being immune and not being as affected every time you make a mistake or you fail. And this trip has allowed myself, my spouse, my kids to be able to improve that. And so it chronicles our family's journey across the continents. It's filled with, in my mind, you know, insightful reflections and many laugh out loud moments that we went through as well. Each chapter is built around a theme, offering a blend of sort of storytelling, insight, and reflection. I've included at the end of each chapter sort of key takeaways, key questions to consider, and also sort of encouraging the readers to rethink their routines and explore how small changes can lead to big transformations. And I'm very big on action items. So thinking about what, after reading the chapter, each chapter has its own particular theme. And what are the things that you can start today, this week, and this month in terms of your pause and reflect? So each chapter has a section on pause and reflect. And really these simple, actionable steps for me can help take, you know, what you've done, you've learned and read about today and add more joy, connection, and adventure into your everyday life. So I'm so, so excited to bring this to life. And it's become a labor of love that I've worked on over the last 6 months, and just very grateful that I've had a chance to tell my family story in terms of our trip around the world.
It's amazing. And it's surreal when you get into it because you're in the finishing stages. I think you're almost there.
That's right.
To get it out. And it's just, It's like it snowballs, right? It's one thing after the other, and it's amazing. So I'll definitely keep everybody posted on when the book comes out. And of course, if you follow Charles, you'll be able to see as well when it's launched. But an amazing, and it's not just for travel. This is what I appreciate about you. The way that you write is you can, it's transferable to anything in your life. So you could transfer that, those key messages and those key takeaways to just your everyday life at work, at home. You know, it really is transferable, and I like taking action. We could read all sorts of books, but if we don't put them into practice,
Exactly.
they're just, that's it, you know. So
Ideas, yeah,
the fact
ideas,
that it's like,
yes.
okay, you got to do this today, let's get started, let's change
Exactly.
those habits, I love it. So it's great. So we have that keeps you busy,
Yes.
keeping that book going. But what's next? What comes after that? Do you have anything planned? I mean, planning a trip takes a lot of time. Like a lot of time and energy goes into planning a trip, and then after that, it's a lot of time and energy to keep everybody alive during the trip. And then after that, you have the book, everything. So, but there's got to be more after that. What's coming up?
Oh, so much more. So, I mean, I'm launching my book early in the new year. So, the January, February timeline or time frame is what I'm looking at. And I want to be able to use the book as an opportunity, as a platform or a foundation to sort of expand my sort of speaking engagement. So, I dream of hosting international retreats. You know, helping individuals and families kind of embrace the art of pausing and reconnecting and really inspiring audiences to rethink routines and rediscover what truly matters to them. So, like, really, what's next is to be able to identify speaking opportunities on those themes of not needing permission to pause or the power of pausing or really just rerouting routines and focusing on that. So, I'm looking at whether it be on the corporate side or on the nonprofit side, but looking at a slew of conferences I'd like to be able to attend, and also those I'd like to be able to speak at to sort of share that message as well on the unexpected power of pressing pause on life or finding joy in the ordinary or life lessons from our time also on the road as well. So those are the things that I'm working on in 2025, and I'm excited. Like, I would never have thought that, even though, of course, the trip we knew was happening this year, I would never have envisioned that 2025, even though we're not there yet, but we're getting there. 2025 is, I'm just feeling very bullish on the year to come and the excitement and enthusiasm that the book and our story will be able to yield as well. So very grateful for that.
That's amazing, and that'll take off really well. I mean, everybody who's listening right now, you're a natural speaker. It's just like your
Thank
voice,
you.
you're very well articulated. So I would definitely want to hear and sit in on some of those conferences. They're great, and that's going to be a great project. That's going to keep you busy for a while.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. There's so many things that are going through my head now. If anything, it's to try and keep things straight and to figure out what is the right sequence of events. And of course, there'll be missteps and miscues, but all a part of the experience. I'm excited for what's to come because I'm just feeling like this is, as in, I can see why people who do their own thing, who are entrepreneurs, end up working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even though you need to find the pause. It's just the enjoyment and fulfillment I get from what I do and the how it resonates with people, much like the work that you do resonates with others as well. So there's a pure joy in being able to do that. So it doesn't feel like work.
It doesn't, and that's what I keep saying. Because we talked earlier, like when I first started, I was just throwing out lines and watching to see
Yes.
what would catch, but I was having fun doing it, so it didn't feel like work. I used to work. There was a point when I had the 9 to 5, but mine was a 12, you know, a 7 to 7. So if I would
Wow,
work
yes, I've
about
shared that with me
70,
before.
I work on the weekends with another job, so 70 hours a week easily. I wasn't having fun. So that's how burnout starts, right? But this, I could put in the same amount of hours, but it doesn't feel like work. It really doesn't. And so it's just great to be able to enjoy it. As long as I'm having fun, I know I'm doing the right thing. So I'm sure it's the same way for you.
Exactly. If anything, one of the things I've learned and one of the things that my mentor has shared with me was, you know, don't fight it, flow with it. Go with the flow. Let's see what the universe has to show with you. Because I'm all about having to fix things and put things in place. And it's hard because I've got that type A personality that wants to plan everything in advance, which we needed to do for this trip. But the best things are when we, you know, the best stories, the best circumstances is when we flowed with it, when we just went with the flow and then, you know, things happen, good or bad. It was all part of the experience. So that's my mantra for 2025. Don't fight it, flow with it.
I like that, flow with it instead of go with it. Flow with it.
Exactly.
and just to let go of the expectations. So just enjoy the ride.
Mm-hmm.
It's
Exactly.
very fun. I could talk to you all day, honestly. Every time we get a chance to speak, it just we just get all caught up in different conversations. Before, for the listeners, before we pressed record, we could have had another episode right there just talking about our experiences. It was amazing. But before I let you go, before we wrap up, I always ask this one question because I promised a little girl that I would ask everybody I interview. But it's what do you want to be when you grow up?
Ooh, I love that question.
I love that.
I want to be a storyteller who inspires other people to live intentionally and dream boldly.
I like that.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a broad horizon. You know what I mean? It's
Exactly.
it leaves room for all sorts of different things. I love that. Yes, we need that. We need more storytellers.
Yes. And there's so
Wonderful.
many stories to be told, so I want to bring
Yeah,
those to life.
I love it. That's great. That's a great thing to be. I love that question because as adults, we should ask ourselves that question. We're constantly evolving. It's not because we're done high school or college that
Yes.
life
Yes.
stops, right?
Stop.
So it's a great question to ask, and I love that just to inspire people to live the way that they should live. I love it. And before we go again, how can people follow you? How can they you could mention your blog if you want, or
Sure,
social media, or
sure.
how can they get in touch with you if they want to get you on to speak on your experiences?
Yeah, so there's a couple ways. So you can reach out to me on my website at charlesachampong.com. So all one word, charlesachampong.com on my website, and you'll get links there to get sort of exclusive previews to my book that'll be coming out in the new year. Or you can follow me on Instagram at Around the World in Family Days, all one word, for our travel tales and behind the scenes sort of stories in terms of the launch of our book and speaking opportunities as well. Or you can reach out to me on LinkedIn under my name, Charles Achampung, as well. So those are the three avenues that you can connect with me on.
Excellent. I'll add those to the description as well so people can have it. And thank you so much again. I could talk to you all day, but I'll definitely have you on once the book is out and
Great.
everything is kind of set out. But you're more than welcome to come back on and we can talk some more. But I really appreciated you taking the
Thank
time, and I'm really happy that I got to be the icebreaker for you for more podcasts to come.
Yes, thank you. It's been a phenomenal experience. Thank you for leaving me the opportunity to talk about our trip and our journey. And again, great choice color on the sweater. I love
I
the fact that we've
know.
got the matching colors here. Great minds think alike. We make blue look good. And thank you very much
Exactly.
for the
I'm liking
opportunity.
it. So we make it, and that was our first reaction when we got on camera.
Exactly.
I was like, "Hey, you're wearing the same
And
thing."
we did not color coordinate this. It's a sign.
This was not planned. This was just it just happened. So we're twinsies today.
Exactly. Thanks so much, Daniel, for the opportunity. This has been
Thank
an
you.
enjoyable experience, my inaugural podcast, and I just thoroughly enjoyable. Thank you.
That's awesome. Thank you, and well, I'm sure we'll get to talk some more. But for everybody who's listening and watching, don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And don't forget to follow Charles as well with all of these wonderful projects coming up. And until next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.